are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today, we have a couple different topics to cover. I'd like to update the ownership saga. There's a bit of news that I neglected to mention on yesterday's show, so we'll talk through that. And then also, I want to get back to the idea. Last week, we talked through some fake trades that were around the basketball blogosphere, one of them involving Alfred Aminu as a possible trade target for the Wolves and what they might need to give up to get him. And I thought a little bit more about it and actually wrote on the subject for Dunking with Wolves, the fan-sided Timberwolves blog that I co-edit. And I wanted to talk more about Aminu specifically, but then also the idea overall of trading potential upside and flexibility, exchanging that for starting caliber players, and what that means, what that might mean for the Timberwolves, if that's something that Gerson Rosas and his front office would explore doing, and where that line falls. Before we get into those items, though, a quick reminder, as always, to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so the rumor, it actually was from over the weekend, and it's just kind of trickled out because it was kind of an aside, and Charlie Walters over at the St. Paul Pioneer Press, or TwinCities.com as their website is, he does these notes columns where he puts in a smattering of news from across sports and the Twin Cities and people with Twin Cities ties and everything, and really even just regional things. There's Packers notes in here. There's everything. So I think it took a minute for this to hit the mainstream NBA news cycle, but I'll just read it directly, what the rumor is, and then address my thoughts on it directly from the article, the Charlie Walters article called "Normalizing Baseballs Won't Happen at Target Field This Season." Buried near the bottom is this note. Word within basketball circles is that Kevin Garnett's group that wants to buy the Timberwolves from Glenn Taylor includes two billionaires from California and another from Florida. Garnett's investment is said to be $200 million as he would head the basketball operation with authority to name the GM and coach. Asking price is expected to be about $1.2 billion, which also includes the Lynx. Garnett was also part of a group that tried to bring an NBA franchise back to Seattle. So the middle sentence there is the one that sticks out, of course. Garnett's investment is said to be $200 million out of what appears to be a $1.2 billion bid, and he would head the basketball operation with authority to name the GM and coach. Wow. I mean, a week ago when this rumor first broke, I was pretty clear on this podcast that I was all for Garnett being the face of the franchise moving forward, patching things up, getting his jersey retired, even being part of an ownership group. But the caveat is I don't want him near basketball operations. I certainly don't want him running basketball operations. As it turns out, the Timberwolves have a pretty good president of basketball operations already in Gerson Rosas. He's on the job, 14 months? He's turned over everybody on the roster but two. He's acquired a 24-year-old all-star and traded up in the draft, has a little bit of cap flexibility, has a big expiring contract to use this year, yes, he traded a first-round pick for next year, but he acquired a second one this year. It's hard to look at his first 14 months on the job and not say that he's done an outstanding job, given the hand that he was dealt with an aging, expensive roster, and the things he's been able to do, turn Robert Covington into Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez and a pick. So, there's a couple things. First of all, if this were to happen and if Garnett was to take control of basketball operations, it's not 100% true that he would necessarily fire Gerson Rosas in the front office and bring in his own guys. We don't know that for sure. And I'm trying to be fair to KG. We don't know that he would do that. Second of all, we don't know for sure that Garnett would not be a good head of basketball operations. So also want to be fair to him in that regard. The evidence that we have is not positive. I referenced this last week. There's been comments he's made in the past when he was a player. Obviously Kevin McHale happened to acquire guys that Garnett was close with or keep guys, whether it be the overpay for Troy Hudson, the end of the table deal for Joe Smith. And there's been other Garnett favorites that ended up on the team either multiple times or got paid too much to be in Minnesota or to be extended. There were comments he made, as an analyst, players that he worked with, he famously trained with Thon Maker when he was with the Bucks and declared that Maker would be a future MVP. There's been a number of these, and Garnett's a guy, you know, he loves himself some hyperbole as well, of course. Enough red flags there. And also there's not a ton of former players or recent former players that have been successful heads of front offices. Steve Kerr wasn't great when he was in Phoenix as a head of a front office. He was okay. Danny Ainge has been good, obviously, in Boston. He would be an exception. Recently, Elton Brand, for instance, has just been okay, but he wasn't the one that built the Sixers to what they are. He's only kind of overloaded their team with pieces that don't fit perfectly and overpaid guys and all that. Calvin Booth, of course, was a Wolves executive and is now running the show in Denver. All indications at this point are that he will be very good. His track record has been good. The Nuggets are a well-run organization, and Booth has been a highly sought-after candidate. So it certainly is a mixed bag, although Garnett doesn't have any experience in player personnel. Booth worked his way up a little bit. Brand did to some extent as well. Garnett just jumping in and being in charge of basketball ops would be frightening, to say the least. One would think that Glenn Taylor would at least consider this when looking at his bids, and perhaps there's a conversation had, hopefully, before this were, if this were to happen, if Garnett's group was to buy the team, which of course is the first, really the biggest hurdle, easily the biggest hurdle to this happening. Maybe there's a Garnett Rosas discussion. Maybe it's a, hey, Garnett can be an advisor, and, you know, I don't know. There's got to be some sort of guardrail in there to avoid Garnett coming in and firing Gerson Rosas on day one, when Rosas is the one that's built this team to be one that appears to have a fairly bright future. So there's all kinds of red flags here. And if that's what it means, if indeed the Garnett ownership comes with Garnett control of basketball ops, then I'm out. That's not what I want. I'd love for the Aaron Aflalo group to win. I'd love for, the Wilfs to get back into it. I don't really care. I want the team to stay in Minnesota first and foremost. And I want Gerson Rosas to stay in charge of the basketball operations side of the business. Those are my number one and number two stipulations for any ownership group. Beyond that, there's a lot of other things that would be nice, but those are the two most important things. And if a Garnett ownership group means no Gerson Rosas, then I'm out on a Garnett ownership group. That would be very concerning to me. I tried to be fair. There's a couple of big ifs in there. There's a couple of things we don't yet know. But they're the sort of things to keep an eye out. One other quick note, Bloomberg is reporting that the Strauss Group is exploring the possibility of purchasing the Timberwolves. The Strauss Group was a portion of the former Grizzlies ownership group that was bought out by the majority owner, Robert Parra, a couple of years ago. So they're one of the groups that is involved. As John Krasinski said the other day from The Athletic on Twitter, there's at least six or seven groups involved. Darren Wolfson of KSTP Channel 5 and Score North is reporting that there's a number of people and groups that haven't been publicly identified. So clearly there's the Aflalo group, there's the Garnett group, there's the Meyer Orbach minority owner group, there's now the Strauss group. That's four. You consider that the Wilfs have been involved, and there was an initial group that wanted to move the team out of Minnesota. I don't know if they're involved on any level anymore, but that's at least six identified groups that are or have been involved in discussing a sale with Glenn Taylor, and surely there's more. So obviously this is the biggest Wolf story right now. We'll continue to keep an eye on it. And obviously if anything breaks, we'll be all over it. Next up, I want to get into the discussion about the possibility of the Wolves trading some of their potential, some of their upside, in order to get a little bit better now. And at what point do you give up flexibility to get stability and a few extra wins and potentially a playoff berth as things stand currently? Before we do that, I did want to mention some great new friends we have at Axios. Start your morning with the news that matters in just 10 minutes. Axios Today host Nyla Boudou and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insight into the trends shaping our world. And also, before we get into our next segment, say it with me now. Sports are back, baby. I've been waiting for this day since March, and now that it's here, I've only got one thing on my mind: MyBookie. MyBookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped up into one. I love it, you love it, and that should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. MyBookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams, and with the start of Major League Baseball just having happened last week, there's never been a better time to start playing. With MyBookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out MyBookie's World Series future bets. Nothing shows You believe in your squad, like betting on them before the season's even gotten more than a week underway. But why stop with baseball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future, and in this case, that means basketball, hockey, and football. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today, and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%. Plus, they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you got to do is enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA when signing up. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA when you sign up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. All right, so middle of last week, we talked a little bit about the fake trade floated over at Bleacher Report by, and I'm going to pull up his name here in a second, but over at Bleacher Report that included the possibility of the Wolves trading for Al-Farouq Aminu, who of course is with the Orlando Magic. The person over at Bleacher Report who wrote it was Grant Hughes. The article was actually desperation trades for each of the worst 10 NBA teams. The criteria was basically that it needed to be a trade that could get the team to the playoffs. Obviously, that's a tall task. I don't envy Grant Hughes for getting that assignment. I don't think that trading for Al-Farouq Aminu vaults the Wolves into the playoffs without a lot of other things happening. The most important thing, of course, to that happening is D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns both improving, taking mini jumps, certainly on the defensive end of the floor. And really, honestly, if both of those guys do that, I think this is probably a playoff team as currently constructed if they bring back Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernangómez. If both Russell and Towns play to an all-star level and play defense, which is asking a lot, but if they do, then this is probably a playoff team, you know, 7 or 8 seed, something like that. But there could be some fringy moves that get this team from fringe playoff team to a solid playoff team, given some of those other improvements that certainly need to happen. And that's not what Hughes was asked to do. He was just asked to get the team to the playoffs with one trade. I give him credit. This is a realistic trade offer in that it isn't, you know, trading a poo-poo platter for a third star or something crazy like that. But basically the trade as he proposed it was the Timberwolves would trade Jarrett Culver and Jacob Evans III to Orlando and get Al-Farouq Aminu from the Magic. I want to briefly talk about this trade specifically, and then I want to get into the idea of this sort of a trade. Trading a guy like Jarrett Culver, a guy who has a future, probably still has star potential, but underwhelmed as a rookie, but giving up on him after 1 year to get a guy who's going to be 30 coming off of knee surgery and, you know, is at best, he's a starter, right? He's not a star. He's never going to be a star, but he's a solid starter. Is that concept worth it for the Timberwolves? Is that something they should be exploring? So first of all, on Aminu, remember it was just a year ago. I mean, just a year ago, the playoffs would have just ended. I guess we would have been a month into the offseason. Now that we're in July, it's easy to lose track of where we're at in the calendar these days. But it was the 18-19 season when Al-Farouq Aminu started 81 games for the Portland team that won 53 games and went to the Western Conference Finals. He had a solid season. That was his fourth year in Portland. He turned himself from a borderline, you know, early in his career, he was seen as kind of an underwhelming. He was a lottery pick, maybe even a bust type of a thing. And then he played himself into a rotation type role in New Orleans, went to Portland and had 4 solid years playing for Terry Stotts. And over the course of his Portland career, he turned into a legitimate 3-and-D guy and ended up playing a lot more at the four than he had early in his career. When he was drafted, he was seen as basically just a 3. Portland turned him into more of a small ball 4, and obviously the league changed too. But he went from shooting less than a 3 a game at like 27% clip at best over his first few years. He spent a year in Dallas in 14-15, started to shoot 3s a little bit more, went to Portland. Over the course of his career in Portland, that's 4 seasons, he shot 35.3% on 3s. And attempted 4 threes per game. Before that, he had never attempted more than about a 3.5 a game in his NBA career. The best season of his career from a per game average standpoint was the 15-16 season. He averaged over 10 points a game. But then since then, he improved his rebound rate. He improved his 3-point shooting percentage, continued to go up. Last season, he was at 34%. The year before, he was just a hair under 37%, attempting about 5 per game with Portland. And he's always been one of the better, more switchable forwards in the league. He can guard 3s and 4s almost equally as well. He's 6'8" and he's got a good wingspan and he's always been pretty athletic. So basically you're taking a guy, he was 28 years old, started 81 of 82 games for Portland, team that won 53 games, was kind of their final option on offense. He was, is not a high usage player. Half of his field goal attempts basically came from 3-point range. You could plug him into this Timberwolves team. You could plug 28-year-old Alfred Kaminio into this Timberwolves team, and he's an absolute perfect fit. Switchable, athletic, good in transition, can knock down an open three. He'd be the best defender on the floor for the Wolves, hands down. He's still a better defender than Josh Okogie, a little bit of a different defender, but he's still better than Okogie. He's better than Jarrett Culver. That would be awesome. And I think you trade anything short of Townsend, D'Angelo Russell, and probably short of a high lottery pick like they have this year in exchange for that player. However, we're talking about Alfred Kaminio, who's about to turn 30, tore his meniscus, only played in 18 games this last year for Orlando, and is getting paid over $9 million each of the next 2 years on a guaranteed deal. I still think that's a valuable player. I think it's likely, you know, a meniscus tear for a guy like him. Obviously, that was the injury that kind of led to the downfall of a guy like Chase Budinger's career, who is supposed to be a 3-and-D type player, relied on athleticism. I think Aminu can still be okay coming off of that injury. But remember, he's turning 30. It's not like he was a 40% three-point shooter. He was at best a 35% three-point shooter over the past few years. Literally 35.3% over the last four seasons in Portland. And he does need his knees to play defense. He needs to have some athleticism, some lateral quickness to play defense. Because of those red flags, this is not a trade I would pull the trigger on. Had Aminu been healthy, had he not had the injury, had he had another solid year like he did the previous year in his age 28 season, this is a trade I probably make. But there's enough question marks that you don't take 1 year of Jarrett Culver and say, well, he's really bad offensively. The kid's, he's like 21 and he improved a ton year one to year two at Texas Tech. You got to believe he's going to improve year one to year two in the NBA. You don't take that and turn it into a 30-year-old coming off knee surgery who's owed $9 million each of the next 2 years. And, you know, Jacob Evans is a throw in to match salaries, but he's got some guaranteed money the next couple of years. So you're taking those two more modest guaranteed contracts in Culver and Evans and swapping them for Aminu's $9 million. I don't make that move simply because of those red flags regarding Aminu. Are there other potential trades like this out there? If the answer is yes, then they need to be explored, because this sort of a trade, this idea is the correct thing for the Wolves to be doing to try and take that next step. And I want to talk a little bit more about that idea here next. Okay, so we've established that Alfred Kaminio is probably not the optimal trade target for the Minnesota Timberwolves, at least not at the price of somebody with some remaining upside. If they can get him for a pick and some filler, I don't know how they would get to the $9 million without a substantial contract, basically a Culver or an Okogie or somebody who makes more than a couple million a year. Aminu is probably not the right target. As I've already stated, the combination of age, coming off an injury, the type of injury he's coming off of, and also the 18 plus million, almost 19 million he's due over the next 2 years. However, the idea of adding somebody to the fold who is an NBA starting caliber player right now that could help the Timberwolves either go from a 9 or 10 seed and upper 30s wins to lower to mid 40s wins and into the playoffs, or get them from an 8 seed to a 5 seed or whatever that might be, to immediately elevate the level of play, I think that's something the Timberwolves would have to explore. So what do the Wolves have to trade? Not a ton in terms of upside, right? They're not going to trade D'Angelo Russell. They're not going to trade Karl Anthony Towns. There's a bunch of guys that probably don't have much trade value, guys that they have the rights to, Jordan McLaughlin and Keelan Martin. Some of these other former first rounders, Omari Spellman, Jacob Evans III, it's unlikely that they're going to trade. They're not going to, I guess it's possible they could figure out a sign and trade with Juancho Hernan Gomez or Malik Beasley. That's a possibility. But again, you're not going to get much that's worth more than those guys in a trade. And they're both established NBA players, so I don't think you get much that's worthwhile making those trades. Basically, it's Josh Okogie, it's Jarrett Culver, it's James Johnson's expiring $16 million, assuming he picks up his player option. Those are the chips that you have to trade in addition to draft picks. But remember, they don't have a pick next year anyways, because that was moved with Wiggins for D'Angelo Russell. Of course, they have the two picks this year and the second rounder as well. So in terms of trade chips, Jarrett Culver is probably your best one in terms of upside, right? Even though Josh Okogie is the better NBA player right now, I don't think it's hard to say that Culver clearly still has the better upside. Okogie's probably pretty close to reaching his. If he can add a 3-point shot, then he becomes a borderline starter. Right now, he's kind of your eighth guy on a playoff team, providing energy, providing lockdown minutes, depending on matchups on the perimeter defensively. Jarrett Culver still has upside of starting caliber player. His best case scenario is still, I think he still has star potential. However, I think it's easily less than 10% of a probability that he reaches said star potential. I think very likely his most likely cap out scenario is borderline starter, maybe solid starter on a playoff team. That's his best case scenario. Yeah, he's only 21, but it's more likely he becomes that, and probably equally as likely he never figures out a jumper and is a fringy rotation player as he is right now, that he becomes a star. So taking all of those odds, if the Timberwolves can trade a guy who has a less than 10% chance of being a star and a high probability of being a quality starter in the future for a guy who's a quality starter now, then they have to do it. I don't think Aminu is that guy for the reasons I've already stated. I don't know if this trade's even out there. Of course, the Wolves aren't the only team in a similar spot looking for starting caliber players. But they are in a unique position in that they have two superstars and then a bunch of bench players. Maybe Beasley's a starter, as I believe. We've talked about John Hollinger on his podcast a couple weeks ago with Nate Duncan. Does not think Beasley's a starter. He thinks he's a third guard scorer off the bench. He doesn't think he has the size or defensive chops to play with a starting five, to play starters' minutes. I think he can. Hernan Gomez, maybe he's a bench piece, maybe he's a starting four, but he's not a shoe-in to be a starter. So even if you buy that Beasley's a starter, the Wolves need to find a three and they need to find a four. And if they can trade Jarrett Culver and the slight potential that he becomes a star, if they risk that for somebody who can step in now and be a starter, somebody who's in their prime, about to enter their prime, probably not someone on the back end of their prime, and it can't be somebody who's too expensive. So it's a very narrow, I think we spend some time in the next few weeks looking at these potential trade candidates. There's not going to be many that fit this bill, but you can bet that Gerson Rosas has a list of them on a whiteboard in his office, and those are the guys he's going to go after. And if he has to give up Jarrett Culver to do it, to shore up the starting lineup, he's going to do that. I don't think he'll give him up for $18 million of Al-Farouq Aminu coming off a knee injury at age 30, but I do think if he can find a comparable player, if it was Al-Farouq Aminu 2 years ago as a 28-year-old pre-injury, that's the type of move I think he's looking for. I think he's looking for a prime player who's paid appropriately that can play both ends of the floor, shoot at worst at league average, provide at worst league average defense, and kind of bridge the gap between the offensive heavy games of Russell, Towns, and Malik Beasley. If he can find someone to do that, he'll give up the chance that Culver becomes a star. As it is, he's likely to be the third star on the team anyways if it happens. But if he's still 2 years away from being a solid starter, then Gerson Rosas is going to pull the trigger on a move sooner than that and not wait around. The Wolves need to show progress next year. And I don't know that next year Jarrett Culver makes this team that much better. Now, that said, he's certainly not in a rush to trade him because there is that chance he becomes a superstar, because he traded up and drafted him sixth overall just last year, and because he's already a pretty average defensive player. He's solid. He's switchable. He's long. He's athletic. And he's still got some upside. And even though he was inefficient and relatively, quite frankly, a mess on offense as a rookie, there is still some development there. So I don't think Rosas is desperate to trade Jarrett Culver. I think it's probably still more likely than not he's on the roster come training camp, whenever that is, in November or December or whenever. But if the right trade comes along and Rosas can improve the team in the here and now in exchange for Jarrett Culver and a pick, or Jarrett Culver and Jacob Evans, or Jarrett Culver and Omari Spellman, I would expect Gerson Rosas to pull the trigger on such a deal because it improves the team now and it doesn't severely hurt their long-term prospects either. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow on Thursday and on Friday. We're back to 5 shows a week, so we will be back again a couple more times this week. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, @LockedOnTWolves. That's @LockedOnTWolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.